Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Oh, what a great day so far. How many of you were able to get to Hero? Oh, yes. It was so incredible. And I know we've been talking about it, but honestly, because as Pastor John was saying, I'm able to be a part of that behind the scenes. And I'm so humbled by the fact that volunteers from our church would commit 3 months of their life to make the name of Jesus famous. And it is so incredibly powerful to see the sacrifices that they make night after night, leaving their kids at 7 o'clock at night to drive down to have late rehearsals into the night. And you know, the last 2 weeks, I don't know if any cast member got to bed before 12 midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, just working so hard to make sure everything was excellent, to put on just a powerful show so people could come to know Jesus. And then I don't know if you noticed, but 5 of the 6 singers were actually involved in Hero. So they were here, probably not going to bed before 1, and then getting up and being here at 5 a.m. to make sure they were able to lead us into a powerful time of worship. And everyone back at the desk and the crew behind the stage making all the props happen, hair and makeup and the musicians. And it was just so incredible. So I just think we need to thank them again for being so selfless and amazing to see 225 people come to know Jesus. 225 people have been taken from hell and put into heaven because of the Hero production and all of their sacrifice. So thank you so much to everyone that was involved. We love you and I so appreciate you from the bottom of my heart. We are so blessed. I pinch myself that we get to be pastors at one of the most incredible churches on the planet with people that just serve so selflessly. And it was just such a beautiful time, wasn't it? Funny, powerful. I cried, I laughed, my throat's a little sore because I sang every song for every show. but anyway, so it was just so beautiful. So we are in our sermon series, Thank God It's Sunday, and I am truly thankful that we have the house of God. I'm so thankful for Sundays. I'm so thankful that we have a place that we can come to each and every week to be built up, encouraged, to be prayed for, to be challenged, to be inspired, to be healed, to be set free, to be delivered, to have breakthrough. Like, we can never get to the place where we think church is just something that we're supposed to do, that church is just a ritual. Well, I grew up going to church, so, you know, that's just what you do on a Sunday. Never let it be something that's ritual or a box that you check to say, I went to church to make your parents happy. Oh, no, no. It is so much more than that. It is so much more than that. And I love more than anything to hear. I love hearing testimonies of how people's lives were changed because of the church. And today's going to be a little bit different. I'm not going to have so much as a preach, but I just want to share my heart with you. And my prayer and my hope is that as I share, that something will be ignited on the inside of you, that you'll be able to leave this place with a new passion and a heart for people that are outside of these doors, that need to be inside of the doors of the church. And I just pray that today we'd be able to inspire you just to go out and literally change the city of San Diego and those who are in your world. Amen? Amen. I just want to share a few testimonies with you about the power of what the church can do when you surrender your life to Jesus, when you commit yourself to the house of God and becoming a true disciple of Jesus. And I want to start with Jesus. Morgan Irvin, who played Jesus in the Hero production. I don't know if you were able to listen to his message. He preached at a 5 p.m. service a little over a month ago, and he shared his incredible story. Someone who had incredible wealth in the world. Everything that he wanted, he was able to get, but yet he suffered with an eating disorder, with sexual identity issues, with depression, with suicide, with drugs, and he found himself walking into a church, having a powerful encounter with God, and everything changed, everything he was set free from. And he's committed his life to the house of God. And God has redeemed his life so beautifully that he was actually able to play Jesus in our Hero Rock musical. He has a gorgeous wife, incredibly successful, a beautiful daughter, and another one on the way. Like, thank God for the church. I thank God for the church. Even myself, some of you know my testimony. I was saved. I knew Jesus, but I was not free by any means. I was riddled with insecurities, with fears, with anxiety. It was ruining my relationship with my husband. I was a complete psycho. I was trying to control everything he did. I was so fearful that I would micromanage everything he did, telling him where he could and couldn't go, what he can and can't look at. And just, I mean, every day I live with such anxiety. I just thought, this is just the way I am. I'm never going to be set free, and it's going to end up ruining our marriage. And then all of a sudden, I walk into a church that actually believes in the power of the Holy Spirit, and I got prayed for and delivered from a spirit of fear. I didn't even know there were spirits of fear, but let me tell you, I was being controlled by demonic spirits of fear. It was ruining my relationship, and it was destroying my life. And in a moment, I got set free because I went to a church that believed and operated in the power of God. The church is so powerful. It is so powerful. And one of our worship team members, his name is Jake, and he was actually one of the disciples in the production. He shared his testimony with me in length last week, and he was telling me that he grew up with absent parents. There was alcoholism in the home. There was some abuse, abandonment issues, all of that. And he walked into the church in the fall of 2015. And this is what was happening in his life at the time. I was in deep depression and addicted to lust and pornography, drinking a lot, struggling with my sexuality, and I'd completely lost faith in God. I remember waking up one morning and saying to myself, this is the way I'm going to be for the rest of my life. I had no hope for a happy life. I felt alone, more alone than I ever had. In December of 2015, my dad called me one morning and said, "Hey, son, I have something I want you to see with me. Last night, I went and saw a production called Twisted, which is our Christmas musical, and I feel it's something you want to see with me. I want you to come see it with me tonight." And it was very touching, and I think you're going to really enjoy it. Will you go with me? And he said, yes. He said, I remember walking into C3, and I couldn't believe how much everyone made me feel like family. Everyone was happy and kind and welcoming, despite my state of mind and demeanor at the time, which was lifeless. I walked into that place the most broken I'd ever been, and I'm so glad I did. The show rocked me, and all I could gather to do with the strength to do was to raise my hand at the end to accept Jesus back into my life. And the next time I walked into that place was to audition for Hero 2016. And I remember chatting with him during the auditions, and I was like, I haven't met you yet. Why have I not seen your face? He's like, well, I actually haven't ever been to church here. I just came to Twisted, and I gave my life to Jesus. And now I'm going, wait, like 2 months have passed. Why have you not been in church? So I'm like, Jake, it's been 2 months. What are you doing? Why have you not been in church? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, all right, well, I am casting you in the show, but you better show up on Sunday, and you come say hello to me, report into me, because I want to make sure you're planted in the house of God, because I don't want you to just be able to use your gift, you know, and impress people. I want you to be planted in the house of the Lord so you're going to flourish. So that's exactly what he did, but he didn't come alone. He brought his whole family. And this is what he said. He said, my life has been completely transformed since. I'm now walking free from all the things I walked into church with 1 year and 4 months ago. God has done so much in my life during this small amount of time. I can't even imagine to imagine what's going to happen in and through me in the years to come. Amen. Amen. Whatever you walk in the church with, God can redeem, he can restore, he can set you free from. Another story I actually just heard this week. A beautiful 15-year-old girl in our church was miraculously healed. And this is a letter from her mother. Our beautiful young lady has been looking at life through a whole new set of eyes, literally. On March 19th, she received healing for a vision during corporate prayer. That 60-second prayer, God touched someone in their seats, and they miraculously healed. She and I were standing in the congregation watching different people being prayed for, and she listened to the speaker saying, if you have a vision problem, look into the light and believe for healing. In faith, believing, she looked on the stage and into the lights. As she continued singing and praising God, she started to get a headache and thought it was because the lights were hurting her eyes. She took off her glasses and started rubbing them. When she opened her eyes, she wondered why everything looked so clear. Unsure, she put on her glasses again and everything became blurry. She took her glasses off and could see perfectly like never before. Instantly, she realized God had healed her. She tapped me and she was crying, more like bawling. I turned and looked and I was alarmed at the sight of her controllable crying, but she started screaming, I can see, Jesus healed my vision. I can see everyone's faces on stage. I can see all around. And the whole family started praising God. On the drive home, she was so excited with her new vision. She was reading all the street signs, telling us the different colors in the bird's feathers flying around us, and reading fine print. We are so blessed. We have been marveled at this healing for weeks. The first few weeks, she could find herself pushing her glasses against her face out of a habit, but realizing she wasn't wearing anyway. God is so good. Amen? Amen. And I received this email a couple of weeks ago. Thank you for saving my marriage. Last year, after 30 years of marriage, I had filed for divorce from my wife in Michigan and moved to San Diego to care for my elderly parents. Depression and sadness had taken a hold of me, and I was feeling very sorry for myself. While in a lonely despair, driving down Balboa Avenue on a Sunday last May, I saw a bunch of happy, beautiful people exiting C3 after a service. A light went off in my head, and I thought, maybe church can make my life better. Certainly what I had done up until that point was not giving me much satisfaction. I had a great job, people that loved me, yet I was broken and hollow. I did some research online and watched a couple of Pastor Juergen's messages. I was hooked. I called my wife in Michigan to tell her a new day was about to dawn in our lives. She had many doubts, but she listened. I then bought a Bible and started attending C3 every Sunday. I met some awesome people who embraced me there. After a few weeks of repenting and rethinking everything in my life, I no longer felt I was doing this on my own. God's grace was covering me, and I dropped my worries at his feet. After running from Jesus for 55 years of my life, I made the commitment to run towards him. My wife finally agreed to let me come back to Michigan for a couple weeks at the time to assess my progress. I have now been back with her since this past Christmas, and we're attending a church here. You have all given many stirring emotional messages that have helped me be reshaped as a man, a husband, and a father. I can't begin to thank you enough for what you all mean to me. Amen. Amen. I don't know how you came in here today, but the way you came in, you don't have to leave the same. I am telling you, the power of the transformation that can take place when you surrender to Jesus Christ, when you commit your life to being a true disciple, when you come into the house of God, everything can change. So be encouraged today. I don't know what you're going through in your life right now, but today, everything can change. Everything can change. The church and that, all that it stands for is so incredibly powerful. Amen? Amen. And our hope and our prayer is that when you come into the house of God, you personally get to experience all the benefits that God has for you, that your life is completely transformed. And we need that. Some people say, oh, it's not about you. Well, actually it is, because if you're a hot mess, how are you gonna ever help anyone else clean up their mess? So yes, it's about you. You need to surrender your life to the transforming power of Jesus Christ, get set free, saved, things are broken off of your life, be encouraged, filled with faith, all of that. Have your whole life transformed. So what, not just for you, it's not just for you. God does that in and through you. So then out of the overflow of what God's done in your life, you can go out into a world and minister to people who are hurting, the people who need Jesus, the people that are headed down the wrong path, gonna be spending an eternity in hell. But you, because of what God has done in you, it overflows and you minister to them, and then they can experience the transforming power of Jesus. Amen. My hope and my prayer is that each one of us will be like Peter and John. There's a scripture in Acts where it talks about how they were, the religious leaders were trying to silence them, saying, you can't talk about this Jesus guy. You cannot talk about the things you're seeing and you're hearing. It's going to cause an uproar. And I love their response. In Acts 4:20, it says this, for we cannot but speak the things for which we have seen and heard. For we cannot but speak about the things which we have seen and heard. And that is our hope and our prayer, that you, when you experience God, that you cannot but speak about the things that God has done in and through your life. Amen? Amen. Our mantra at C3 Church is this. Whoops. Sorry. To make disciples who passionately pursue Christ and who purposely produce other Christ followers. To make disciples who passionately pursue Christ and who purposely produce other Christ followers. It's the Great Commission. It's the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. 2 Corinthians 5:18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. As believers, as followers of Christ, we are all called to make disciples and reconcile people to Christ. Making disciples and reconciling people to Jesus Christ is not just for pastors or sanguine personalities. Did you know that? God would never give you a command and then curse you with a personality that doesn't allow you to complete the mission. Oh no, we need your personality, and thank God for multiple personalities, because there are some people in this world that find me very annoying and obnoxious. I could never reach them, so they need you. You're way more subtle about everything, and they need someone with your personality. There are people that you can reach that I could never reach. There are people that I can reach that you could never reach. All of our personalities are needed. Sharing the gospel, making disciples, reconciling people to God is not just for the sanguine personality, for pastors. We are all called. Some people are like, oh, what's my purpose? What's my calling? Your calling is to make disciples and to reconcile people to God. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. We are all called. We all have a divine calling to make disciples and reconcile people to God. Amen. And just so you know, I wasn't always nice and I didn't always care about people's souls. All right, I just need to make you feel better about yourself, where you're at right now. There was a time in my life, all I cared about was me. There was a time in my life that it was all about my issues and all that I needed from God. My prayer requests, my breakthrough, my finances. It was all about me. And I could care less where everyone's souls were. But honestly, I sat in a conference. I flew to New Zealand and I sat in a conference. And there was a pastor, her entire message, it was titled Souls. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is such a waste of my time. Like, I'm serious. I sat there so annoyed that she wasn't ministering to the things that I needed to be ministered to. And this was just ridiculous. Like, I'm already saved. I don't care. Like, my soul is saved. Like, I was so focused on myself. So I just want to make you feel better. If you're in the place where it's still all about you, again, it's okay. Get fixed up, cleaned up, get transformed. And then out of the overflow of what God has done, now go and reconcile people to Christ. It's fine. But you got to get to the place where it's not all about us anymore. It's about what God has done in us overflowing out into the world. And you know, the more you get to know someone, the more you get to know Jesus. Isn't it funny? The more you get to know someone, you actually start to care about the things they care about, right? Because you get closer to their heart. So the things that are important to them become important to you. So as the closer you get to God, you realize the passion he had for humanity. And that he sent his one and only son to die on a cross so that not just you could be saved, but he doesn't want anyone in the world to perish. So I began to pray, because I knew I was in a selfish place, that God would give me a heart for the lost, that God would give me eyes to see the people that I need to see, the people that I need to minister to. And I can't tell you, oh my goodness, how my heart has changed. It is almost impossible for me to have a conversation with a stranger without trying to figure out in my head, how can I redirect this conversation so I could extend an invitation to church or drop the name Jesus or something. Like, I am consumed by how to turn a conversation into the direction where I can tell them about Jesus. I live and I breathe it, because I understand now that every encounter with a human being is an opportunity to share the gospel, to be kind, to make the name of Jesus famous. Every time you are in face to face with one of God's creation, it's a possible opportunity to be a witness and make the name of Jesus famous. Amen. And I know you're not, every conversation isn't going to turn into the gospel or an invitation of church, but you can always leave them with a good impression of what a follower of Christ looks like. Because to be honest, we have a bad rap, right? People think we're just like Jesus freaks, judgmental, like we have to redeem the name of Jesus. So make sure you're out there being kind and generous and loving so you can restore the reputation of what a Jesus follower looks like. Amen. And because I'm determined to make every encounter with a human being a divine moment, I sometimes find myself in interesting situations. So I do. And so just recently, there was 9 of us girls. We went to a women's conference in Arizona, and it was a 12-hour conference one day. So it was like 12 hours of power. And we were like exhausted but excited at the end, and we couldn't wait to all sit together and like debrief and talk. So we get back to the hotel and we're all sitting in the lobby just having some snacks and drinks, and we're just talking about everything. We're all so excited and having fun together. I had to run up to the room to go get something. And on my way back, I'm like hustling back to the girls. And right before I got there, this group of gentlemen was like, hey, can we ask you a question? I'm like, sure. So I stop and I turn back around and they're like, where are all you girls coming from? Where'd all you girls come from? And I was like, oh. Well, we just happened to leave a church conference and we're all just, you know, hanging out together. So I was like, yes, I got to drop church in like my opening line. This is brilliant. And so, you know, and I didn't want to be too quick to walk away. I don't know what God was going to do in that moment. So they started, I was wearing my ring. Don't worry. I was trying to get them saved. So anyways, so where'd y'all come from? Like church conference. Isn't that? And they're like, well, can we hang out with you ladies? And I was like, well, we're all married and most of us have children and we're actually all pastors and we really want to just like connect with each other. So thanks, but I think we'll be good. And they were like, come on. All you girls are so effing beautiful. Okay, all right. If you have not heard a good F-bomb lately, you are too disengaged from the world. Can I just say that? We're supposed to be in the world, not of the world. So if you haven't heard the F-word, you get out there and start making disciples. All right? You know, they were totally being obnoxious, yeah. But what I didn't expect any different. They don't know Jesus. They're just doing what they do. I wasn't going to be all judgy. Here's the thing. I wasn't offended. And I knew that moment was not going to turn into me talking about how Adam and Eve brought sin into the world and there was a rescue plan where God came to humanity. And I knew that moment was not for that moment. But what I knew that moment was for an opportunity for me to sow a seed as to what a Jesus follower looks like. So no matter how obnoxious they were being, I wanted to make sure they left with a good taste in their mouth that a follower of Christ was not judgy. They were kind. They were encouraging. Because what I did was tell them, if you want to meet some of these ladies that you think are beautiful, then you need to get into the house of God. And I said, there's a great church here. We were just at. You need to check it out. So I started telling about some churches in their area. Again, I knew I wasn't going to witness, but I wanted to plant a seed. I needed to plant a seed. But I do need you to know I'm not always kind. All right. So I'm not holy all the time. So later that night, when we get up to go to our room, I wasn't really paying attention because we're all just chatting, but apparently this big gentleman stood up and it seemed that he might be following us back to our room. And so I guess he tried to get in our same elevator and then we shut the door on him and this and that. So we're all just chatting down the hall. Then all of a sudden this gentleman appears like right behind us and he didn't have personal space. So it was like 3 feet behind us, no joke. So all the girls are like, oh my gosh, he's following us. And I'm like, I got this. Because, you know, I used to be a probation officer and I worked with sex offenders and violent criminals, all right? So I did that for 7 years. And so I got into some interesting situations. Oh my goodness. I dealt with the worst of the worst. And I had these people out on bail and I'd be in interviews and my job was to get the truth out of them. So I'm like confronting them and challenging them. Like, they're lying. I'm like, all right, you're lying? I'm going to give you another chance to start over, and I won't tell the judge that you started with a lie. I was just in their grill, and I would make these guys so mad. I'd make them so mad. And so there were times where I would leave work, and I would leave case files on my desk, and I would tell my coworker, I'm like, okay, if I die on the way home, it was him. And I was dead serious. Because these guys were out on bail. Like, I'm leaving the Hall of Justice downtown, taking the trolley. There was 3 incidents where I was not certain if I was going to make it home. And there was 3 incidences also where people were either following me, filming me, or I had a guy touch me on the trolley. And you better bet, they regretted the day that they messed with me. Can I just say it was the most embarrassing moment of all of their lives? I'll just leave it at that. They're going to think twice before they do that again. But anyway, so this gentleman, come here up here, Colin. He was big and tall like Colin. Come on, Colin. So I'm still on the I'm not always kind, all right? So, so we're talking. Just follow about three feet behind me, okay? Can I help you? So this is what you do. You turn, you make eye contact, because their whole plan is the plan of surprise and attack. So if you catch them off guard, you ruin their plan. So I was just like in his face, like almost touched his nose. And I'm like, can I help you? And he just jumps back and he's like, I'm going to my room. And he had his key out. And I'm like, oh, carry on then. Go, carry on. So I accuse an innocent man of being a sex offender. I am not always kind. And that was Summer's fault. Summer thought he was a sex offender. Summer. I was so embarrassed. I was like, please don't let me see him tomorrow. His face looks so mortified because we're all just staring at him then. Like, what are you doing? Why are you following us? It was so bad. Anyway, so I digress. Okay. So yes, we are all called to make disciples, okay? But not every opportunity is probably going to turn into a God moment. But if you can make it a God moment, make it a divine moment. Amen. I know John mentioned in a message that he was preaching the other day that there is rarely a circumstance or situation where we're out to dinner or a waiter and a waitress does not get an invitation to church. I'm always thinking, how can I have a connection point with this person so I can have an invitation where it's not so awkward? But if I'm being honest, a lot of times it's just really awkward. There's not a natural segue, but what do I have to lose? I always have church invitation cards on me. And so I sometimes come right out and ask, like, why not? What are they gonna say? No. Oh, well, like at least you planted a seed. You planted a seed because here's the thing, because you're kind, right? You're showing interest in their world, right? You're leaving a generous tip, right? Right, live streamers? Yeah. So we're leaving generous tips. So the best thing is you just planted a seed of what a Jesus follower looks like. And you never know what fruit is going to come from the seed that you planted. Did you know the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 3:6-7? I planted the seed in your hearts and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering, but what's important is that God makes it grow. So if we could be a church, a people that plant seeds wherever we go, I believe that walls could not contain what God is going to do through C3 Church. If it could be a church of people that plant seeds wherever we go, one by one, people's eternities are going to get saved. And one, never underestimate the power of one soul meeting Jesus. Because one soul, think about it, it's a husband. He has a wife. She's going to get saved. Their children are going to get saved. Their children, you literally are changing like lines of generations of people because one invitation. Because one person was saved. Never underestimate the ripple effect and the power of one invitation, the power of one person getting saved. Amen? Amen? And as a church, as believers, it's a privilege, a responsibility, and a mandate to shift people's eternal destinies. So how do we do it? We've talked about planting seeds wherever we go, making the name of Jesus famous, extending invitations. But I want to talk about one other thing, and it's my one and only point this morning. The title of my message is More Than Words. More Than Words. And have you heard the saying that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care? People don't care how much you know. People don't care how much you know about Jesus until they know how much you care about them. So I'm going to sing a little song to explain my message. I ran across it. I was listening, and it'll date me. So if you don't know this, you're under the age of 35 or 40. But it was a song that the words are actually so incredibly powerful, and it preached the message that I wanted to share with you. So don't judge the vocals. Just listen to the words, okay? All right. It's amazing how you can speak right to my heart. Without saying a word, you can light up the dark. Try as it may, I could never explain what I hear when you don't say a thing. The smile on your face lets me know that you need me. There's a truth in your eyes saying you'll never leave me. The touch of your hand says you'll catch me whenever I fall. You say it best when you say nothing at all. As believers, Do we say it best when we say nothing at all? If you could not speak, would there be enough actions to convict you of being a follower of Jesus? If you couldn't use words, would your life be able to show that you're a follower of Jesus Christ? The song says, without saying a word, we can light up the dark. Without saying anything, we can light up the dark. The Bible says in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine that people are going to see our good works. And because of our good works, they're going to glorify our Father in heaven. You know and I know that we're not saved by our good works. We're saved by grace. So we're not saved by good works, but we're saved for good works. And we can't be saved by our good works, but other people can be saved because of our good works. So our message to the world needs to be more than just words. Do we say it best when we say nothing at all? And I'm just going to share a series of stories and testimonies with you to just help inspire you and encourage you to go out there and do the same. But in December, I was out at Panera Bread, and I was getting back into my car, and I heard what I thought was crying. And so I was faced with a dilemma. Do I get back to rehearsals for Twisted, I'm in a Hurry, or do I actually go figure out who's crying? And so I got out of my car, and I realized that it was the woman next to me inside her car, hunched over her steering wheel, just wailing. I was like, oh, dear Lord, what has happened? And so I was faced with a dilemma. What do I do? This is potentially awkward, but I couldn't let the moment pass. You know, a lot of times we can look at moments as inconveniences, or they could be divine moments. It's just how you look at it. And so what did I just knocked on her door, and I was just like, can I help you? Can I help you? So she rolls down her window, and she begins to tell me of the tragic things that are happening in her life. And my heart was so grieved. So we just began to chat, and I was holding her hand inside of her car, and I said, hey, can I do anything? What can I do? What can I do? And she said, can I just have a hug? And I'm like, yes. And so she gets out of her car, and so we're hugging and we're crying in the parking lot. And I started prophesying the plan that God has for her. God, and I just started to speak hope into the situation, that God has a plan and a future for her, and she doesn't have to give up hope. And then I said, you need to get to Twisted. I was like, I'm going to get you tickets. Let me get your number. You're going to come to Twisted. So that week, she brought her son. So her and her son came to Twisted. They both responded to the altar call. They're now in a connect group. They are flourishing. They're definitely not out of the wilderness, but they're going to get to the other side, because she now has God on the inside of her that's going to help her. She has people in her world that are going to surround her to get through this time. And I shudder to think what would have happened if I let that moment of inconvenience pass me by. It's an inconvenience, or it's a divine moment. You get to choose. You get to choose. You know, it's acts of kindness and genuine care for people that draw people into a relationship with Jesus. Genuine care. So many times we get so caught up in our own cares and our own needs and our own worries. It's genuine care for others that's going to draw them into that relationship. John 13:35 says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Isn't that beautiful? And this is one of my favorite quotes. Christ has no body on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which Christ's compassion for the world is to look out. We are his representatives, his ambassadors of his love for people through our hands and our feet. Amen. And there was a story, it was about a year ago now, where I was shopping with my children, and as I approached a store establishment, I saw probably one of the worst cases of someone being homeless I've ever seen in my life. He was probably well into his 60s, covered in dirt, no shoes. There was actually pus oozing out of his feet. And I remember approaching him, and I was just like, what am I going to do? Like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And so, you know, my kids are like, Mom, give him $100. I'm like, well, I don't have $100 on me, but let's go get him some food. And so we went and we got all these foods and drinks, and we got a bag. And so we brought it back, and I just set it down, and we gave him the food and drinks, and I gave him some money. And then it wasn't just doing an act of kindness. We actually, I asked how he found himself in that place. I just said, what has happened in your life that you're now here lying on a corner in front of a street? And do you know, before he was lying on the corner with pus oozing out of his feet, he was a son. He was a husband. He was a father. He was a provider. He was a business person. And through a series of horrible, tragic circumstances, he found himself in that place. He didn't have the support system. He didn't have a church around him that would help him navigate through life's tragedies. So this is where he ended up. And I began to tell him that there's a better plan for his life, that God can redeem everything. And we just had a beautiful conversation with my kids just kneeling down right in front of him. And we just asked if he wanted to invite Jesus into his life. And he sat there and he prayed the prayer with me and he invited Jesus into his heart. It's acts of random kindness that open up opportunities to share the gospel with people. You know, the truth is God loved him. But if I just said, God love you, God bless you, and walked away, I'm sorry. I would want nothing to do with a religion that just told me about this God who loved me but did not show me. It needs to be more than words. James 2:15 through 17. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Our good works open doors for opportunities to share the gospel with people and shift people's eternal destinies. You know, honestly, the gospel isn't confusing. It's not confusing at all. The world isn't confused by the gospel. They're confused by us who preach a gospel of love and kindness, but then can show so little of it. We need to change that. We need to change that. Those acts of kindness and genuine care and concern for others is going to draw people into a relationship with Jesus. Amen. I was at a lunch a couple weeks ago having a meeting with someone, and it was at a moment where I was getting emotional and there was some things going on and we were really sharing and we were chatting, and a young boy, probably 15 years old, approaches us in the middle of conversation and says, would one of you mind buying me lunch? I'm hungry. And so I just said, oh, sure, absolutely. Why don't you just go through the line, and when I see you at the cash register, I'll just come up and take care of it. So then I just carry on with my meeting, and I see him get up to the cash register. And so I walk on up, and we're standing in front of the cashier, and he says, I wanted to ask, my mom and my sister are out in the parking lot, and they're hungry too. Would you be willing to buy them something to eat? And here's the thing. I have no idea if he's lying. I have no idea if he skipped school that day, smoked pot, and had the munchies. I have no idea what the truth was. But it wasn't my responsibility to get behind it to find if it was the truth or a lie. My responsibility was to sow a seed. And so I said, absolutely. And the cashier at this point is just like wide-eyed, realizing I don't know this person. I'm paying for a suit, and I'm also now buying him a gift card for these random people that may not exist. So she's just listening to the whole conversation. And I said, here's the thing. I'm more than happy to buy this for you today, so you're full today. But how am I going to know if you're going to be hungry tomorrow or the next day? Like, how do I know that you're going to be okay? I'm concerned. And he's just like, well, I don't know. We'll be okay. And I'm like, well, here's the thing. I'm a pastor right down the road. Have you seen that building? And he said, yes. I said, all right. So I want to make sure that you're taken care of. So will you please, when you come on a Sunday, I gave him a church card. You need to always have church invitation cards on you. I passed it and I said, make sure you come say hello, and I'm going to make sure you're taken care of at least for that day, okay? So, and the cashier's just staring at me. Here's the thing. I have no idea if that moment was to sow a seed in that young boy's life, or that moment was to sow a seed into the cashier life of that what a Jesus follower looks like, or maybe it was for both. I don't care. I don't know. But all I know is our responsibility to make the name of Jesus famous in all the earth, to make him famous in all the earth. So, and I know I've thrown out like random acts of kindness. That's a saying, right? I'm not like a super big fan of that statement, random acts of kindness. Kindness, absolutely I'm into, but random, no. I want to make sure that the author of that kindness is made known in those moments. I'm not just going to buy you lunch. If I'm going to buy you lunch, I am not name dropping. And but if you are going to name drop, you better name drop the name of Jesus, all right? So I want to make sure they know that the author of this moment, the author of this act isn't me. The author of this act of genuine care and concern for you is Jesus Christ himself, because he loves you. So we need to start being very proactive about making sure. Don't be ashamed. If you do something kind, make sure they know you're a follower of Jesus. Let's together make his name famous in all the earth. Amen? Amen. You know, and just a week and a half ago, one of our staff members, Tom Foster, who was also a soldier and hero, he did a phenomenal job. We were both leaving our chiropractic office, and he left before me. And as he was exiting, he saw a young lady crying in her car. And so, you know what I love? Those moments. Okay, so the world, right? So if you see someone crying hysterically in their car, usually you're like, oh my gosh, oh gosh. And people walk away, all right? Because it's awkward. You don't want to get involved in this potential mess. So people walk away like, oh gosh, oh gosh. How about we do this instead? Oh gosh, oh gosh, are you okay? Are you okay? The world does, oh gosh, oh gosh. We, oh gosh, oh gosh. Can I tell you how many salvations lie on the other side? Are you okay? Oh my gosh, if you ask someone if they're okay, there is divine God salvation moments on the other side of asking, are you okay? The very things that the world runs from and avoids, we run into those situations. We run in with encouragement, with a prayer, with an extended hand, with hope. We run into the oh gosh moments. And can I tell you, that beautiful girl, I got her phone number. We had dinner the next week. And because I'm significantly older than her, I brought one of our college ministers with us. And so she now has a friend that's in the same season of life. In her age, we had dinner. And then we got her tickets to Hero. She came to Hero. She brought a friend. She responded to the altar call. She got saved. So never underestimate the moment. One moment can make where you extend yourself. Their salvation can rely on the other side of you reaching out with genuine care and concern. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I just want to encourage you, and I want to end this message with this, is that I actually paid to have our church invitation cards wrapped in packs of six for you. And our ushers are going to have them in buckets when you guys are exiting today. And my hope and my prayer is that you take that pack of six invitation cards, and every morning you wake up with a simple prayer. God, show me who the one is for today. And the challenge and the encouragement to you is every day to pass out one invitation card to church and show an act of kindness to someone to make the name of Jesus famous. One a day for 6 days. And you may never know the fruit of that moment, but you sowed a seed. You sowed a seed. And it may be extremely uncomfortable and awkward for you. It's not in your nature to do these things at all. But I'm telling you, it's like working a muscle, which is a bad example because I have very little of them. But when you work out a muscle, you get stronger and stronger. Again, I was so uncomfortable when I used to do this. And it was awkward, awkward, awkward when I would try to extend invitations to church. But the more I did it, now it's like all I think about. So every day, step past that moment of awkwardness or uncomfortableness or shyness and just step out and be bold. Listen to the Holy Spirit's leading. There is nothing more beautiful when you get to be a part of someone's story. When you get to say, I invited that person to church, and their whole life was falling apart. And it can be like Jake's story. In 1 year and 4 months, his whole life has been transformed. That you get to say, oh my gosh, I was a part of that story from day one. I invited him to church, and now look at what God has done in his life. That, if you have never experienced that moment, oh my goodness, I can only try to tell you how beautiful and how powerful it is to see what God does in and through a life, and you got to be a part of their journey. So I pray that those cards, one a day, you would be praying that God would give you the eyes to see who the one is for the day. And I don't want to ever underestimate one person's soul. Like, oh, because every week we have altar calls and they're flooded with people who are giving their life to Jesus. Let us never let that moment become numb for us. What is happening in that moment? It's, again, changing generation after generation behind them. People, I can't even barely think about what eternity is going to be like for people that rejected God in this life. An eternity in hell, and I hate even talking about it, but we might need to think about it. We might need to think about it for a little bit, because thinking that people will live in eternal torment, in fire and in hell, separated from God because they rejected him in this life and they let Satan win, for an eternity, they're going to be in that place. Listen.
just think on eternity for a minute. I can't even think about tomorrow. 10 years from now, I don't even, an eternity. Oh my gosh, if for a moment we can think about when we see people, you look at them as eternal beings, eternal souls, that if we don't reach out and start reaching the world around us, that's what their eternity is gonna look like. Remembering what we're saving them from gives us a sense of urgency like we've never had before. What we are saving them from is an eternity of torment. Yes, that's their eternal destiny, but what we're saving them from here in this life. I don't know how people do life without Jesus. How people go through marriage breakups and kids on drugs and addictions and all of these things. I have no idea how people do it without Jesus. I don't know how they do it, but what I do know is we are all called. We all have a divine calling to make the name of Jesus famous, to make disciples, to reconcile people to God. And what a privilege, what an honor it is to be a part of people's stories. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's give God a shout. People's lives are going to change. People's lives are going to change. And what I want to do in this moment is I want to make sure everyone in this room has an opportunity to actually respond to Jesus. The opportunity I've been talking about giving people outside these doors, I want to make sure you have that opportunity as well. You know, maybe in the beginning when I was sharing people's testimonies of what God has done in their life, you found yourself in that story. Your marriage is on the rocks. Your kids are, you know, depressed, suicidal, addictions are going, things, and you found yourself in those stories wondering, I wonder if that could be my story too. I wonder if God could do that in my life. Yes, he can. And he will. Yes, he can and he will. And so everyone in this place, I'm just gonna ask everyone to close their eyes and bow their heads. And we ask you to do that just so no one's looking around. So this can just be a quiet moment between you and God. So I wanna give everyone in this place an opportunity to respond to Jesus. If you've never invited Jesus into your life, you've never asked him to wash away all your past mistakes so you can have a fresh start. And you've never asked him to be your heavenly father. You've never asked him to save your soul from hell and put it into heaven, your eternal soul. If you've never asked that, this is your moment. You are here for such a time as this. For it's not an accident that you stepped into this building. It's not an accident that someone invited you today. This is a divine moment for you, a divine moment for you. So if you know you need Jesus to enter your world and to make all things new, just while no one else is looking around, I'd love for you to just slip up your hand so I can see it because I want to pray with you. Can you just slip your hand up so I can see your hands? Thank you over there. I see you here in the blue as well. Beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Over to the side, I see your hand. Yes, I see you, the beautiful couple over there. Up in the back, I see you, gorgeous. Anyone else? And right here, in the blue shirt, I see your hand. I see your hand. I believe there's many others. There's many others that are here, and there's a little bit of a battle going on in your heart and your head right now. What are people gonna think if I lift my hand? I'll tell you what they're thinking. They are so incredibly excited for you. And if your heart is racing, that's the enemy trying to keep you from connecting with your Savior, keeping you bound in the things that are hurting your life right now. So that if your heart is racing and you're feeling a little anxious, I'm just gonna count to three. Because if your heart is racing right now, you need to respond to Jesus, friend. You need to respond to Jesus. And even those watching online, God can meet you wherever you're at. This is for you as well. So I'm gonna count to three, and if your heart is racing and you know this is your moment, just lift it up nice and high on the count of three. One, two, three, lift your hand. I see you, sir, right there, beautiful. And I see you over here, awesome, so good. Amen, amen. I need to close this service, but this is too important of a moment to pass by. And I want to pray with each one of you personally, and I actually want to give you a gift. We have a Bible and a book for you, and want to answer any questions that you have. So this moment is not to embarrass you, but I'm telling you, this moment is so incredibly powerful, and every single person in this building has either done this before, or then they're going to be cheering you on. So I'm going to ask everyone to stand to your feet, and I'd love to meet you and give you that beautiful gift. So as everyone else is cheering you on, if you lifted your hand, or if you know you should have lifted your hand and didn't, will you just come on down to the front so I can say hello?
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.